Today's episode is brought to you in part by Logos. Logos combines digital books with intelligent software to help you study the Bible deeply. Do word studies with one click, search for virtually anything in your Bible, and enjoy dozens of features that help you see more in Scripture. Right now, you can find my book, Virtuous Persuasion, A Theology of Christian Mission, as well as get a listener discount on Logos by visiting logos.com/mniebauer. That's logos.com/mniebauer. What does it mean to be righteous, and how do we become righteous? How can we hunger and thirst for something other than food? Welcome to This We Believe, the podcast where we explain the essential texts of the Christian faith. My name is Dr. Michael Niebauer. Jesus continues the Beatitudes by declaring, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." In order to understand this beatitude, we need to first better understand the key term in this sentence, righteousness. This word righteousness means something like right with. It is a relational term. One is right with another when they are living in harmony with them. When such harmony is severed, we say that individuals must get right with each other. When two people are in conflict with one another and wish to return to harmony, they are invited to get right with one another and to get on the same page with each other. Righteousness is related to the term justice, which refers to the right ordering of persons in the world. Justice is enacted when a wrong is made right. For instance, if I were to steal $500 from someone, I would make things right by giving back to them this $500. In this way, justice is served. Now, a righteous person is thus one who is always seeking to treat others rightly and to treat them justly. Of course, God created the world in perfect harmony. Human beings were created to live in harmony with the world and with God. Life on Mount Eden was thus a just world and a just society, with Adam and Eve righteously living in accordance with God's will for their lives. This is why in the Bible, one of the first effects of Adam and Eve's sin was to bring disharmony into the world. Adam and Eve lost their righteousness. They were no longer aligned with God. And as a result, the world fell into disharmony and injustice, with animals and humans attacking one another and human beings at odds with each other. Righteousness, then, is a longing to return to that Edenic harmony with each other and with God. A righteous person is one who longs to get right with God, to get right with others, and in turn, seeks to make things right in the world. We'll discuss each of these three marks of righteousness. First, to seek righteousness is to seek to be right with God. Those who hunger for righteousness seek to align their whole selves to God. They strive to make every thought, word, and deed come into full accordance with God's will. How does one seek to get right with God? This is done by following God's law and God's teaching in the Bible. When we follow God's law, we are following the straight and narrow path of righteousness that God has laid out for us. God's words are a lantern to our feet and a light to guide the path of righteousness. The Psalms are littered with expressions that show the connection between God's commands and human righteousness and the inexpressible joy that is available for those who delight in God's will and walk in His ways. Psalm 1, for instance, invites us to delight in God's will and then promises that God will know the way of such righteous persons. Now, the second aspect of righteousness flows out of this first aspect. To seek righteousness is to seek to be right with others. It follows that those who are right with God would naturally seek to be right with all other persons in God's creation. As we learn to follow God's will for our lives, we encounter God's will for us to treat other people with the dignity and respect that they deserve as fellow bearers of God's image. This means that when we have wronged someone else, we always seek to make it right. Often when we harm someone else, we try to ignore the problem or diminish our responsibility for the problem. Those who seek righteousness, however, are quick to apologize and quick to make amends. In addition, those who seek righteousness seek never to wrong others in the first place, learning to love others as is what is best for them. The second part of the Ten Commandments, for instance, spells out very basic ways to treat other people so that one can remain in harmony with them. This brings us to the third aspect of righteousness. To seek righteousness is to seek to enact justice in the world. Righteous persons not only seek to be right with others, they seek to build a world in which things are made right between other people. They seek to make right the injustices that they see in the world around them. They stand by and support victims as they seek redress. Often, the poor and outcast are those who bear the brunt of society's injustices. It is the responsibility of the righteous to seek to make amends, advocating for fair treatment of all of God's creation. In this beatitude, Jesus says that not only should we want righteousness, but we should hunger and thirst for it. Hunger and thirst are words that speak to our deepest longings, those desires that hit us in the gut. When we are very hungry or thirsty, we feel it in our bodies. We grow fatigued, our mouth pants, and our stomachs growl. In these moments, our bodies cry out to us for physical nourishment. Now, the incredible thing about the human body is that it can also have a similar kind of aching for emotional and spiritual things as well as physical things. For instance, a nervous mother can grow weary with worry as her son is on the operating table. An excited child can barely sleep the night before Christmas. A soldier quivers, longing for the embrace of their faraway loved one. Jesus is inviting us to deeply desire to be right with him and with others, so much so that it affects our bodies in a similar kind of way. We should be just as excited to read about God's will in the Bible as a child on Christmas morning shakes in anticipation of gifts. We should long and ache to get right with God by confessing our sins and receiving the forgiveness of Christ, to experience the warm embrace of God's mercy just as we long for the embrace of a loved one. Unfortunately, the recurring reality of our sin and the brokenness of the world means that this hunger and thirst is never fully satiated in our earthly lives. Indeed, we must continue to be right with God because we continually wrong God. Life in community requires a near constant seeking and granting of forgiveness, in the continual enactment of justice. Even those who have grown in righteousness still experience the frustrations of an unjust world, often feeling powerless to make right the enormous and complex wrongs in society. Fortunately, Jesus promises in this beatitude that a day will come when our hunger and thirst will be filled. For those who believe and trust in Jesus, he promises to bring them back to paradise, a mountain that, like Eden, is a place of perfect harmony, where we will perfectly and completely live in accordance with God's will and perfectly live in harmony with all of God's creation. In the meantime, Jesus gives us a taste of this future home each Sunday through the Eucharistic meal of bread and wine. Communion is our spiritual food. As we eat of the bread and wine, our spiritual hunger and thirst for Mount Zion is satiated. We come to church each Sunday bruised and battered by the world, a world that often pushes us off the path of righteousness, a world that is filled with never-ending injustice. But in receiving communion, our hunger and thirst for righteousness is temporarily filled, and we are reminded that complete fulfillment is waiting for us at our heavenly banquet with Jesus on Mount Zion. I'd like to thank you for joining me today on This We Believe. If you have enjoyed this episode, I'd ask that you tell another friend about us, which will go a long way in helping us reach others. You can also leave a review for us on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to connect further, you can reach us at Twitter at @we_believe_pod, or send us an email at thiswebelievepodcast@gmail.com. Take care and God bless.